You're listening to a message from Gateway Fellowship. Be sure to check us out at gatewayfellowship.com.
Today we continue our series called The Way of Wisdom, and we're going to be focusing on just the first part of Job. So I've encouraged you, read the book of Job. It's just 42 chapters, and so this morning we're focusing really on the first two chapters. Over the next number of weeks, we'll be moving on throughout the book. But this morning I want to leave you with a big idea. Just the one thing for you to remember, and it's this. The way of wisdom, that was what we've been talking about. The way of wisdom is paved by faith. The way of wisdom is paved with faith. And so that's our big idea. So just kind of latch onto that and just remember. I love what Martin Luther said. He said, faith is taking the first step, even when you can't see the whole staircase. That's truly what faith is. Now, how many of us, you don't have to raise your hand, but many of us, we want to take that first step, but we also want to see what's the rest out there, right? We want to see the top of the staircase, but faith is taking that first step, even if we can't see it. It's a daily walk with Jesus. It's walking in God's wisdom ways, and that's what we're talking about. So as we talk about the way of wisdom, what we're doing is we're pushing back away from kind of man's attempt at wisdom and at discovering wisdom. And so a few weeks ago when I launched a series, we talked a lot about Google, and that Google, on a daily basis has over 1 billion requests, for knowledge and for wisdom and just finding stuff out, returning like 7 billion page reads. And that's okay. And I said, Google's okay if you're looking to repair your car. Google's okay if you're looking to learn more about gardening. But, when it comes to dealing with life and walking God's wisdom ways, then we go to the Word, and then we seek God for wisdom and for guidance. So that's the way of wisdom that we're talking about. And today we're going to be talking about the way of wisdom when suffering comes our way. And there's just a whole lot to learn from our friend Job. So I just encourage you, get into the book of Job. I think probably the book of Job for many is confusing. I had someone last week come to me and say, I just don't understand what's going on here. And for some, it can be confusing. But I pray as we look into the book of Job and we seek God's wisdom and guidance, He will reveal His wisdom to you. For each one of us, if we're alive, suffering has come in to our lives in some way or another. It's come alongside of me. It's come alongside of you. It's life. And don't you know that it never comes at the most opportune time? It always comes at the most inopportune time, right? It just seems like when things are going right, all of a sudden those things come in. You've been there. I've been there. Some of us are there right now. And we find ourselves asking particular questions. Sometimes as a Jesus follower, the accuser that we're going to read about in just a moment can come in and go, you shouldn't even, why are you asking those questions? You shouldn't even be asking those questions. And all of a sudden we find ourselves feeling really, really guilty for asking particular questions. We're going to be talking about that in just a moment. But we need to know that suffering takes many different forms and certainly doesn't just include physical suffering. Now, when we're talking about suffering, let me just share with you two battles that we all face. Number one, there's the battle of reality. We know that in the world today, there are destructive forces at work. We read about things like hurricanes, and we read about things like floods, and we read about things like wildfires and all of those things. They come and go, but when they come, we're forced to respond then in some way. And you know that some blame God for that. God allowed this to happen. They blame God, and they're mad at God. And then some respond this way. They give the credit to God. And I think sometimes in a wrong way, that's God that did that because of such and such and such and such. I remember when we were growing up and I was getting ready to go to school. I was in the fourth grade, and some of you were around here. We had a pretty major earthquake in 1964. And I remember how my mother responded to that. And our cat just started going crazy, running circles in the middle of the living room. And all of a sudden, the ground started to shake and all of this. And the way she responded, she gathered all of her 5 kids together. And we began to pray together. And she had us in a circle. And that was her response to that moment of what seemed like and was a fairly destructive force. We deal with the destructive power of those types of things. But as part of the battle of reality, we also deal with suffering or those types of events, don't we, on a personal level. Sickness comes into our life. For some of us, our kids are out of control, and that's an element of suffering. Persecution of all kinds, and we see it happening in the lives of others. It's happening in our lives. That is reality. And so there's the battle of reality, but there's also then the second battle, and that's the battle of the heart. And that deals with our response. And it's important for us to understand how that plays out, because sometimes we ask this question, why would God allow this in my life? And sometimes it takes this form. If God is so powerful, we know he's a powerful God, if he's omnipotent, you know, that's the word, all powerful, then why would he allow this to happen? If God loves us so much, I mean, we've heard that too. If God loves us so much, he would never let this happen. Why is God letting this happen? And we see that going on, and we can really connect with the psalmist in Psalm 10, verse 1, chapter 10, verse 1. O Lord, why do you stand so far away? Why do you hide when I'm in trouble? Now, I'm going to talk about questions in just a moment, because it's okay to have questions. The psalmist has questions, and maybe that's the question that you're sitting with here today, or that you had. God, where are you in my life right now? Because I'm suffering. Where are you right now? And God, you could have stopped that. If you love me, God, you wouldn't allow this to come into my life. So what does it look like then? Faith as we walk in wisdom, in God's wisdom ways. By the way, questions are okay. There's an African proverb that says this: the one who asks questions doesn't lose his way. Guys, that's a pretty good proverb right there just for life. The one who asks questions doesn't lose his way. The Bible speaks to this area of suffering, and we learn a lot from the book of Job and the way of wisdom as a Jesus follower. Now, Job is one of the oldest stories in history. We learn much there. Job's life, when you read it, and if you're reading it, it's kind of scary. It really, truly is. And I've thought hard. I don't know of a mother who's ever named her son Job. Maybe you do. It's like we stay completely away from that, right? And we read that story and we go, not man, never me. I just don't even want to be there. But let me give you the story of Job in 10 words, okay? The story of Job in 10 words. Here it is. God allows human suffering for his own purposes and plan. I'd like for you to think about that this morning. We're going to talk about what that looks like and how what faith has to do with that. God allows human suffering for his own purposes and his plan. We've talked a lot about living out God's purposes in our lives here at Gateway, particularly in this last series called Go. Now, we need to understand that we will never understand everything. The Bible says there are some things that are only in God's mind. There are some things that only he understands. But what's the way of wisdom paid by faith? What's it look like? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says it's a faith. Faith is this. It's the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about the things that we cannot see. Now, if you're a Bible circle, you know, you circle words in the Bible or phrases, or you do underline, that's not a bad thing to underline, what we cannot see. Because what we cannot see most of the time, perhaps all the time, we have to recognize as humans, we just don't understand it. And so we put ourselves in this place of trust, walking in faith in the hands of God. We're a Jesus follower. What does faith look like? Let me just share with you three aspects of faith. As we talk about the way of wisdom, it's paved by faith. For every Jesus follower, there is the experience of faith. That's the moment when you trust Jesus. That's the moment when you, like 33 kids did this past week, said, Jesus, I trust you with my life. And it happens at every age. That's the experience of faith. We experience faith. And then there's living faith. That's what we're called to as followers of Jesus as we live out our life each and every day. So we move from the experience of faith when we trust him to living faith, or our daily walk with him. Every one of us, we have not yet got to the third aspect of faith, because that's the realization of faith. That's when we die and we go to meet Jesus. We realize our faith. So there's the experience of faith, and there's living faith, and then there's the realization of our faith. Faith has been described this way, as a channel of living trust. And so what we learn from Job now, today, particularly and throughout this series, is we learn about this whole thing about living faith. Living faith. What's it look like to have living faith right in the midst of suffering? So you got your Bibles, book of Job. Let's go to Job chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, where the story begins. Job chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Here it is, coming up on the screen. There once was a man. It sounds like a fairy tale when I read it, doesn't it? There once was a man named Job who lived in the land of Uz. He was blameless, a man of complete integrity. He feared God and stayed away from evil. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters, 10 children. He owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 teams of oxen, and 500 female donkeys. He also had many servants. He was, in fact, the richest person in that entire area. Job's sons would take turns preparing feasts in their homes, and they would also invite their 3 sisters to celebrate with them. Mom and Dad, can you just imagine what that was like? The sons, the guys, were doing the cooking. And not only are they doing the cooking, man, they're inviting their sisters over. It's great, man. That's a fairy tale story. Don't you love it? Don't you wish it was part of your life? I do. But you see, the story of Job turns. And that's what happens in life for you and for me. Things seem to be going on really, really well. And then all of a sudden, something happens, and the story turns. Now, it does for Job in just the next few verses. Job chapter 6, or chapter 1, verse 6, we begin to read what happens now. That one day the members of the heavenly court came to present themselves before the Lord, and the accuser, Satan, came with them. "Where have you come from?" the Lord asked Satan. And Satan answered the Lord, "I've been patrolling the earth, watching everything that's going on." In that moment, God points out his servant, Job. And Job says, "Yeah, but you're protecting him. You put a hedge around him," which, by the way, ought to be a word of encouragement to everyone here today. "But God, you've done this. You're protecting him." And that's how he replied. But God says, "Okay, you can do everything. You can take his possessions, but you can't touch Job." Now, let me just throw in something here. We don't want to be sidetracked by questions that we really don't have answers to. For example, what was Satan doing in the presence of God? We don't know. In fact, Deuteronomy 29:29 says there are some things that are just in the mind of God. There are some things known only to God and will never be known to us. And so we come to that place of trust and faith in God. We don't know why he was there, but we do know what he was up to. We don't know why he was there, but we do know what he was up to, because he's called what? The accuser. And the accuser, Satan, comes in and challenges God. And God says, "Look, check out my servant Job." The story of Job, 42 chapters. Let me give it to you in just a few paragraphs. He's the head of a large family. Job is a wealthy farmer from a place called Uz. He's blameless and a man of complete integrity. God calls Satan's attention to him, the devil. Unimpressed, asks and receives God's permission to attack Job's possessions and wipes out thousands of sheep, camels, oxen, donkeys, and worst of all, Job's 10 children. Despite Satan's attack, Job keeps his faith. Satan then receives God's permission to attack Job's health. But in spite of terrible physical suffering, Job refuses to curse God and die, as his wife suggests. Before long, Job begins to question why God would allow him, a good man, to suffer so severely. Talked about questions already. Job's suffering is worsened by the arrival of 4 friends, quote unquote, who begin to accuse him of causing his own trouble by secret sin. "It's because of your wickedness. There's no limit to your sins." In the end, God himself speaks, vindicating Job before his friends and also addressing the overarching issue of human suffering. God doesn't explain Job's suffering, but asks a series of questions that shows his, God's vast knowledge, implying that Job should simply trust God's way, walking in his wisdom ways. And Job does, telling God, I know that you can do anything, and no one can stop you. By the end of the story, God has restored Job's health, possessions, and his family, giving him 10 more children. That's the story of Job, 42 chapters in just a few words. But the interesting thing is, and I know you'll remember this, and we need to remember this, that we stand back and we read the beginning of the story, and then we read the end of the story, don't we? Now, Job had no clue, no idea what the end of the story was going to be as he stood here. Neither do you. But Job trusted in God as these things began to enter into his life. And we're going to read what the end of the story looks like in just a few moments, what it brought Job to. But if the way of wisdom is paid by faith, what's it look like? What's it look like? Let me just give you two things that faith will not do, and then two things what faith will do. See, faith in the midst of suffering, number one, will not eliminate pain. Now, Jesus can step in and do whatever he wants, but faith in the middle of suffering, in the midst of suffering, will not eliminate pain. See, some of us have come to the wrong conclusion or the wrong idea, the wrong thinking. If I can just have faith enough, there'll be no pain. It's kind of like, how many play Monopoly? Yeah, okay, some of us. I don't, because I don't like games. So anyway, but you do. Anyway, there is that get out of jail card, right? And sometimes we use faith that way. Now, if I can just get enough faith, it's kind of my get out of pain card. It's my get out of suffering card. Living by faith, walking in the way of wisdom, is not some magical spiritual get out of jail card that eliminates suffering or eliminates pain. Now, the accuser will step in and go, look, you know, you wouldn't have that in your life if you were a person of faith. Faith doesn't deny reality. There are times that I've heard people deny the suffering that has come in to their lives. You see, it's okay to admit I have a headache. It's okay to admit that I'm struggling. It's okay to admit to those things. I still have faith in God that he's going to see me through. I'm suffering and you're suffering perhaps. Too many people see admission or the awareness of it in our lives as an expression of a lack of faith. That is simply not true. These things did not enter into Job's life as a punishment for a lack of faith or anything else. And so we stay away from, if I just pray more, and maybe you should pray more. If I just obey more, maybe that should be a part of your life. But those things don't lead to a pain-free life. Jesus can step in, hear me clearly. Jesus can step in every moment and do a miracle. We pray for that. Job was nearly crushed by the pain of suffering, but he reacted in two ways. In Job chapter 1, verse 20 and 21, it describes his reaction to this first test. Job stood up and tore his robe in grief. Then he shaved his head and fell to the ground to worship. And he said this, naked, I came from my mother's womb, and I will be naked when I leave. The Lord gave me what I had, and the Lord has taken away. Praise the name of the Lord. Do you see what Job does? He moves from this human response where he tore his robes and shaved his head to worship of God. Let me ask you this. In times of suffering, and maybe you're there right now. No, I'm not asking you to tear your robes, shave your head. But in your human response, you move from that human response, it may be a question, to worship of God. Where do you move to in your response? Toward God or away from God? When we walk in the way of wisdom, in faith, we allow God to mature us and to grow us. And the reaction on our part is that we worship him, even if we don't understand. because faith takes us there. I read the story of a preaching professor at a major university, and he tells the story of his 5-year-old, his kindergartner son. And you know, moms, dads, grandparents, you've received the gifts from kindergartners and your children, haven't you? Well, that's what had happened. And this kindergarten class spent about 3 months kind of making this Christmas gift that they were going to present to their parents. And so the day finally came when the gift had been made, kind of a little ceramic thing, and they had been painted by the kids and formed and then placed into the kiln and wrapped, and then they were going to be presented. And he tells a story of being in that setting where the kids were presenting their gifts to their parents. And he talks about his 5-year-old son running down to give it to him. And as he runs down, he trips. And the gift that he had created hit the floor and broke into many, many pieces. And of course, his 5-year-old, this was the most expensive gift he had ever given, and just started bawling and crying. His mother came up to him, and his dad came up to him. And dad said, this professor said, "It's okay, son, it doesn't matter." Thank God for the wisdom of mothers. This mother stepped into that situation, and she said this, "No, it does matter." And she said that to her 5-year-old, and she said that to her husband. "It does matter. Let's take it home." And so they took that broken gift home, and mom got together with her son, and they put it together. Didn't look like the original, and actually it turned out much more beautiful. Turned into a butterfly that this professor said he took and he sat on his desk until the day he retired to remind him of this, that from a great loss, great beauty can eventually emerge. And that's what we see in the story of Job. Now, I'm going to say something that will be a real duh thing and a real obvious thing, and it's this. I've never experienced childbirth. Everybody go, duh, duh. Okay, guys, we never have. Now, we talk about it, don't we? And sometimes, you know, we're stupid enough to go, childbirth, that's no big deal. I ran all this by my wife, by the way, yesterday before I share it with you. So anyway, you know, sometimes we've done that, and we probably should stay away from that because we really have no clue, right? We really have no idea. But here's what I do know. You know, we have 2 boys, and so Jen birthed two of our boys, that the pain and the suffering of childbirth is something that only a mother can understand. And for many, there are the months leading up to that moment when your son or daughter is birthed. And those represent suffering and pain as well. But I asked Jen this, I said, because it seems to me, at least it was our experience, and I think it's the experience of probably every mom, that when you hold that son or your daughter in your arms after birthing him or her, all the other stuff begins to fade away. At least it pales in part in light of the gift that you're holding. I began to think about that. This experience of Job and the suffering, and then finally, what God does is beauty that emerges. And then I thought about this passage in Hebrews chapter 12, kind of 2b. It says it's because of the joy awaiting him. Because of joy awaiting him, Jesus, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Because of the joy awaiting him, he disregarded the shame and the pain and the humiliation of the cross. Because of the joy that was set, some of your Bibles use that word, before him. What was the joy? The joy was the forgiveness of sins. The joy was that through the pain and through the suffering, you and I would come into new life. There's a beauty there, but there's the pain and there's the suffering as well. Quickly, I'm just going to give you a couple more things and then we'll be gone. Faith in the midst of suffering will not eliminate pain, but faith in the midst of suffering also will not eliminate questions that we have. Questions are good things. It doesn't mean that we get all the answers. We probably have more questions, don't we, than the answers that we receive. But walking in a way of wisdom, paid by faith, doesn't eliminate the questions that we have. The book of Job, as you read it, contains many great questions by this one suffering. David, read the book of Psalms. We'll be getting to the book of Psalms down the road. Has many, many, many questions. Walking in faith does not deny reality and does not eliminate the questions that we have. We just need to know that God is big enough. He's big enough. If walking by faith in the way of wisdom doesn't eliminate pain or eliminate questions, what will it do? Two things. Number one, here's what it will do. We will be continually reminded of who's in control. As we walk by faith, trusting Jesus, walking in his wisdom ways, we will be continually reminded that God is in control. God's in control right now in your life and in my life, regardless of the place that we find ourselves. There's probably no more other more important time, a time of suffering, that we need to be reminded that someone else is in control. And for the Jesus follower, that's God's in control of your life. Here's what faith does. Faith takes us outside of ourselves and our ability to understand and our ability to manage that and places our lives in the hands of God. Jesus, that's living faith. If you study the book of Job, and as you read of it, all of us should be comforted by the fact that the only one in complete control of all the events that took place in Job's life is, guess who? God. God. God throughout the entire story is the one in control. Walking in faith, trusting God, walking in the way of wisdom, continually reminds us that God's in control. God's in control of your life. God's in control of my life. Listen, when the accuser Satan came into God's presence, he didn't trick God. God wasn't tricked. God wasn't won up by the accuser, by Satan. God was in complete control. Nothing happened outside of what God allowed. Walking by faith, we will be continually reminded who's in control. Maybe this morning, right where you're sitting, you need to think about that. I need to think about that. God, you're in control of my life right now. Secondly, walking the way of wisdom, faith will draw us closer to God. Job may not have understood fully at the beginning of the story, but he comes this amazing revelation at the end of the story because there was this intimate encounter with God. And he says this, I had only heard about you before, but now I have seen you with my own eyes. Job chapter 42, verse 5. He said, I'd only heard about you before, but now I've seen you with my own eyes. I only heard about what you could do. I only heard about what you were capable of, but now I've experienced you and I've seen you with my own eyes. What Job now knew at the end of the story, what he now knew of God was incomparable to his former thoughts and ideas of God. This personal confrontation that he had with God silenced his arguing and deepened his awe with God. See, walking in God's wisdom ways will draw us closer to him. I just want to wrap up by asking you a question. How can you interact or engage with God right now where you are? Some of you are in this arena of suffering in some way. For some, it's greater than others. But how, right now, can you interact and engage with God? Do you have questions? Ask God. Talk to him. Maybe it means that you're just going to sit with God, that you're going to find that quiet place. I know, man, life can get so busy. Sometimes we have to discipline ourselves just to sit with God. And we get in that quiet place where we say, God, show me, James chapter 1. I need wisdom and I need direction. I need you. For some of you, it means you're going to write your story down. is journaling. Sometimes I do that. I'll be going to scripture, I'll start journaling. That's what that looks like for you. For some of us, it means that we're actually going to turn away from the accuser and his lies. That we're going to take captive those thoughts that he wants to plant into our lives. That it's because of this you're suffering, or it's because of this. Now, we need to let Jesus teach us. His Holy Spirit needs to teach us the lessons that he wants us to learn. But as we do in faith and trusting in him, we will find ourselves drawing closer to him. Let's stand together, shall we? I'm going to pray. Now, I'm just going to invite you, as I pray, not to just listen to me, but to offer up your prayers to God, particularly if you're here today and you're in that place that we talked about. Maybe it's your quote-unquote Job experience. I don't know, but God knows. Let's pray that as you walk in the way of wisdom, that you'll sense the closeness of God in your life, how close you are. You're his child. He'll walk with you. He's with you. We'll push back away from our human attempts to understand. And for some of us, it just looks like, God, I give myself over to you again today, and I give this to you today. Father, that's what I pray. Lord, some of us are in this place right now that we've talked about. For some of us, it's very private. We've not shared it with anyone. But suffering in some way has come into our lives, and it's our desire to walk in the way of wisdom. And there's pain that has come into our lives, and we're not denying that today or any longer. We have questions, but we're offering those questions now to you, God, and releasing ourselves to you. And I would pray, Lord, that in all of our lives, as we walk in your wisdom ways, that we'll find ourselves drawing closer to you, experiencing you in much greater ways. And so right now, what commitment will you make to God? What's that commitment look like in your life? Is it offering up questions? Is it saying, God, I just need to spend time with you and I commit to that? For some of us, it means that we're going to turn away from and take captive those thoughts that the enemy, the accuser, is putting into our minds and into our hearts. And we'll start thinking on the things of God. Whatever it is in this moment, let's just offer it up to him. So Jesus, we do that. As we leave this place, as we walk in your wisdom ways, I pray, God, that we will find ourselves, thankful that we will find ourselves, drawing closer to you. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen, amen. Now, for next week, you kind of prep for next week. I just encourage you, get into the book of Job. So start chapter 4. Maybe you just read chapters 1 and 2. Get to chapter 4 and read 4 or 5 chapters. And once you start reading, you're just going to keep on going. We're going to be talking about friends next week. What it looks like to have friends and to be a friend. We'll look at some examples from the book of Job. Amen. If you have questions or maybe, you know, you need prayer. Look, Dave's out in the lobby. I'm out in the lobby. Other staff are out in the lobby. Let's meet up. We're all about doing life together. Amen. God bless you. See you next Sunday. Have a great week.
To find out more about Gateway Fellowship or our terms of use, check us out at gatewayfellowship.com.